Hi, this is David Novak, and welcome to It's All About Relationship. This is episode 990. So I thought I would play that music as the intro today for our podcast episode. And if any of you have been around for a long length of time listening to my show, you know that that is the music that I actually started with way back in July of, 19, I think it was. And this is our 90th episode. And just a little background on that music that you heard, that's actually the intro of a song that I wrote. So anyway, that's just a little tidbit there I thought I'd give you. So it's all about relationship. That's the name of our podcast. And last I checked, just a couple days ago, we have been listened to in 37 U.S. states. That's kind of cool. And 36 countries. Can you believe that? Oh, wow. God is good, isn't he? So I'm not saying we have millions of listeners in all those countries, but we have had listeners in all those countries and states. So that's kind of neat. I love what God's doing. And we do this strictly as a ministry. We don't ask for money ever. I don't plan on ever doing that. So it's just something that God put on my heart. If you want to follow us on Facebook or Instagram, we would love for you to do that. On Facebook, it's all about relationship. But if you go over to Instagram, you would check it out by going to David Novak Podcast. That's N-O-V-A-K. And if you want to follow me as an actor, would love for you to do that too, David Novak Actor on Facebook. In case you don't know, that's what I do for a living. I'm an actor. So, and speaking of acting, as you may or may not know, if this is your first time, you wouldn't know, but we just wrapped on a movie in November, a faith-based Western movie called Lost Outlaw. Lost Outlaw. Daryl Mapson wrote it, directed it, produced it, and even had a huge role in it too. And I was in it too, and I played his brother. We are outlaws. And the reason I bring that movie up is because we have a special guest on our show today. We have Pastor Cody Gunderson, and he was the wrangler along with his wife Billy on the project. It was awesome. He did a wonderful job. And Pastor Cody Gunderson also played a role in the film. He played Pastor. I mean, is that tight casting or what? And Pastor, you're on the phone with me right now. How you doing, Cody?
Good. I'm glad to be on the program.
And I'm so glad that you're on the program with us. And you were on November 19th for episode number 83. And we had a really good time when you were on last time. Such a good time. I thought I'd ask you back, and you were kind enough to say hi. And say yes.
Well, it's an honor to be on and the opportunity to share the gospel and the love of God in any way possible.
That's awesome, and I'm so glad you're here. And just as a little side note, what was it, a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago now? I'm kind of losing track of time, but we had a special cast and crew screening, a private screening of the movie Lost Outlaw. And I was up in Coarse Gold, California, and Cody was there too. And we got to ride horses just for fun, and it was awesome, Cody. You are a wrangler. You are a horseman, a true horseman, and you were kind enough to take me on, I don't know, I guess it was about a two-hour ride through the mountains and hills and everything, and I sure do appreciate it.
It was very enjoyable, and you did a great job, David. You handled that horse well, good balance, and we just had it was beautiful that day. White fluffy clouds, blue sky, green grass. It was just one of those perfect days. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it really was a perfect day, and I remember when I got there, and we kind of talked about the weather. It was like God just kind of put that together for us, and it was kind of a special little gift for you guys. Here you go. Here's perfect weather. Go have a good time. And it was a good time too. And oh, I remember when we were riding. Now your horse was tell me about your horse that day. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Oh, when he started crow hopping?
Yeah, which was like a buck, right? He was trying to buck.
Yeah, it's a mild form of bucking. Yeah, he has a problem sometimes going downhill. I don't know why, sore or something. And about four times she went to bucking, and But anyway, I was able to pour out of it. It wasn't too hard. But I didn't say this, but I have a new Apple Watch. And my SOS went off when that horse was bucking.
Oh, did it really?
Jerking.
Oh my gosh! Did it? When it went off, did it like call 911 or something?
No, it just came on. You have to slide the bar to actually start the phoning.
Oh,
but it come on and ask me if I was in a clerk. It looked like I had a fall.
Oh man, okay, I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that, but well, hey, good for Apple Watch, right?
Yeah. You know you're safe if you have one of these.
Exactly. Getting back to the movie, just to tell everybody, just a quick piece of information, if you don't already know this, and if you don't follow us on Facebook, Lost Outlaw now has distribution, and we're very excited about that. And we have foreign and domestic distribution, and the film is actually going to be released probably in May, it looks like. And since I'm talking to you right now at the beginning of March, that's not too long away. So all of our fans and listeners and, you know, whoever's involved, you know, can watch the movie, you know, in another, what, about 2 months, right? So
yeah, I'm excited. We saw it, mm-hmm. but on a, you know, PowerPoint projection. I'm looking forward to seeing it on the silver screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That'll be great. Cody, go ahead.
I was going to say, it was a pleasure working with you guys. You're such a professional at this, mm-hmm. and several of the other actors, and I thought everybody did a good job. Especially the horses. They were the most believable.
They were believable.
The only problem is ever since that movie, it's gone to their head. They want oats every day. They're kind of arrogant. They think they're big shots.
So they've got that actor mentality, that prima donna mentality, right? That's probably why that one horse was trying to buck you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, because I'm a movie star now. I don't need this stuff.
Exactly. That's great. Hey, so switching gears, we're an encouragement show. I guess that's what you would say. We try to encourage people in the love of God and having a closer relationship with God, yourself, and even others. That's kind of our tagline that we talk about. So we're not scripted today. We're just off the cuff. Cody and I, we're hanging out. We don't have scripts. We're just going to talk about God a little bit you know, how much God loves us. And, you know,
I'm glad to hear that it's an encouragement. You know, that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is encouragement. And we never know what another person is going through. You know, they may be hurting deeply, and they don't need to, you know, hear about all the woes of life. They need to be encouraged. I heard a preacher one time on the radio, I don't remember who, but he said, you know, Christians, they get beat up by the world all week long and sometimes teased at work and trying to raise kids in a godless society and pay their bills. And then they go to church on Sunday and they get beat up again by the preacher. You know, the preacher must have thought, Jesus said, if you love me, beat my sheep. But he said, you know, when believers come to church, they need to be encouraged. They need to be lifted up, picked up, so they can run through a troop, jump over the wall, whip the devil, whip the temptations in their life. And encouragement is so important, especially in this day and age. It's easy to get discouraged, but we need to encourage. I'm glad that this is a program of encouragement. I call it a transfusion of courage, encouragement.
I love that. That's awesome. And you're absolutely right. And Lord said, feed my sheep. And like you, I think you said, or I know you said it before, not beat my sheep, right?
And not fleece my sheep.
And not fleece my sheep. Exactly right. Exactly right.
But to feed them.
Okay. So let's say, and this just kind of came to me. Let's role play a little bit. I know that sounds kind of funny too.
All right.
But let's say, okay, let's say I'm a Christian, okay, which I am, of course.
Well, that's a stretch.
I know. I wonder if I can act like a Christian. Okay.
Okay. Well, you're a good actor. I'm sure you can pull it off.
Thanks. Okay, so I'm a Christian, and I come to Pastor Cody, and this is what I say to you. Okay, I'm just role playing, and then you'll tell me what you think. Okay, Pastor Cody, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm just really bummed these days. I don't know what's going on. I'm kind of depressed. I'm kind of discouraged. I don't know, you know, what the future holds for me. And I'm worried. And I've got this fear in my life. And every time I turn around, I'm afraid something's going to happen to my family. And I'm just concerned about finances. Can you help me, Cody? Can you help me, Pastor Cody? What do I do about this?
Well, it's easy to get down and get discouraged, but, you know, we don't know what the future holds, but fortunately we know him who holds the future. And our future is in God's hands. And it says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. You know, fear is a crippling thing. In fact, it says in the Bible, fear is a snare into a man's way. And the only thing we should fear is God. And that's a holy respect for his awesomeness, his power, who he is. But fear can be a very crippling thing. And it says also in 1 Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So any fear that comes is usually the enemy trying to intimidate us. And it only has power, I think, I forget what president said it, but we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And, you know, you just rodeoing for me, getting on rough stock helped me to overcome fear. You know, you get the butterflies and nervous, but a lot of times the things we fear turn out to be not nearly as bad as our mind imagined it to be. You know, we can go on and blow things out of proportion. Well, I was a young pastor, I was counseling this lady, and her husband called me up and said, I don't want you counseling my wife anymore. You're putting some goofy stuff in her mind. And I said, well, no, it's not me, it's you. Unless you get a hold of this, you're going to lose your marriage. I'm trying to help you. He said, I'm going to come over there and beat your, you know, ex. And I said, well, come on over. Well, while I'm waiting there, you know, the kids are in bed and the wife, and I put a baseball bat behind the door. And here he comes, slamming on his brakes, pounding on the door. I didn't answer it. He kicked the door in. Came in, man, I hit him in the back of the head with that baseball bat as hard as I could. Actually, none of that happened, except the phone call. My imagination went wild with what possibly could happen.
Oh, wow.
You know, fear will always build bridges that we'll never cross. Mm. It's fear is the dark room of the mind where negatives are developed. And faith is the opposite of fear is faith. Mm-hmm. To trust God, to trust your Father. He has your best in mind. He promised to take care of us, and if we believe that, he'll do it. That's what I would say to that gentleman.
And, okay, and continuing the role-playing, okay, here I am again. I'm the Christian guy again. Okay, well, you know what, Pastor Cody, that all sounds really good, and I think it's true, but what happens when these thoughts come into my mind, and you know, I can feel my blood pressure going up, and I feel fearful, and how do I combat that, even though everything you just said, I believe it?
Well, what I would say is, you know, you can't keep birds from flying over your head. You sure can keep them from building a nest in your hair. And you can't prevent certain thoughts from entering your mind, but you don't have to entertain those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
What I would do, and when the fearful thoughts started coming, I take a scripture verse, like in 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Amen.
Because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind, and begin to meditate on that and say it over and over and over. And believe it and know that God is not a liar. It says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither son of man that he should repent. Has he not said and shall he not make it good? Or has he not spoken and shall he not bring it to pass? Mm-hmm. I think when you start filling your mind with the word of God at times like that, the peace will come. Emotions just follow what we entertain in our consciousness. So I would just say start reading the Bible. Pick out verses that encourage you. Start memorizing them. And when those thoughts come, just replace them with the word of God.
Amen. And I can't even tell you how much I wanted to yell amen about two sentences into what you were saying, because I'm sitting here on this side of it and I'm nodding my head and I'm thinking to myself, that is so right on. Everything you just said is exactly what I believe. We got to replace the fear and the stuff that the enemy dumps in our head. We got to replace it with the word of God. And like you said just now, we don't have to, the thoughts are going to come, but we don't have to entertain them.
Right.
I love what you said. Absolutely. And
don't say amen. Don't say amen too much. I'll have to take an offering.
fleece my sheep, right? Oh my goodness, that's.
But you know, it's very. I think it's very important how we program our minds. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:5, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." pure in thought, for they shall see God. You know, it's a discipline to learn to control what we allow in our mind, and it's extremely critical. And that's why the Word of God is so important.
Amen, amen. Okay, that is so good. I can't even tell you. And you know, we're all human. You know, we all have our ups and downs. And not that long ago, yours truly, I don't know what I did. I just let the enemy kind of beat up on me one day. Not too long ago, and I didn't pick up my tools, my weapons of warfare. And I just listened a little bit too long, and I started to get down a little bit, and I didn't cast those thoughts down, like you say, and I didn't replace them with the Word of God, like I know, which I know to do, and usually I do that. Okay, but the other day I don't know what it was. You know, we get weak sometimes, and I started.
We all do.
Yeah, and I started to go down a rabbit hole, and I went way down this rabbit hole, and I thought, what the heck? And, you know, God reminded me, you know, of who he is and you know, but then being a Christian, you know, and loving God and wanting to do everything he wants me to do, then I got condemned. Okay. So then the enemy comes in, he says, oh man, look at you. You went down that rabbit hole. You got depressed. You got down on yourself. You talked ugly to somebody and all this good stuff. And so now he comes with condemnation. So, you know, you repent, you say, Lord, I'm really sorry. I know I shouldn't have done that. But then the enemy comes immediately to try to steal the word from your heart. Right. And to condemn.
Oh yeah. He's good at it. He has a few millenniums under his belt of practice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it says in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down vain imaginations and every thought that acknowledges itself, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The spiritual warfare happens in the mind.
It does. It does. Keep going. You got it.
Well, I'm out of material now. You got everything I have.
We laid it all out on the table for you, folks. Oh my goodness, that's really awesome. I love that. Everything you said is just so right on the money. So
yeah, we would program our minds with the Word of God. There would be so much peace and purpose and satisfaction. And a lot of people don't do that. Or, you know, on my iPhone, I got this thing that shows me my screen time every day.
Right.
I wish we had an app that could show us our God time every day.
Oh, yeah.
How much of our day were we actually thinking about our Father and Jesus and his Word? Mm-hmm. And I think we all come up short there. And, you know, we get so concerned with the cares of life that there's not much room for the Lord and the Holy Spirit in our heart and soul. And I think that's part of the Christian walk, is learning to occupy our mind with heavenly thoughts.
Absolutely. And when pressures come, and they always do, you know,
every
day, some days are worse than others, but we have to be willing to go take a minute. You know, you can take a breath. You know, sometimes you just need to, you know, walk away from whatever is stressing you out. You know, go take a walk or something, even if it's a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. But sometimes we just need to take a breath, relax, and say, and, you know, say, Lord, I need your help right now, you know, with whatever this thing is. Let's say you're having you got to make a decision at work or something, and you don't know what to do, and everybody's on you, and they're on your back, and you can feel the pressure, and you can feel your neck getting tight. And, you know, maybe you just need to get up for a minute and just go to the restroom and hide for a minute, and, you know, and put your head in your hands and say, Lord, I need you right now. I need you to fill me with your wisdom by your Holy Spirit. Speak to my heart and lead me in the way that I should go. And you'd be surprised.
And I think
yes.
Another thing that helps too is it says that everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to learn to praise the Lord, to program our mind to look for the good and not the bad.
Right.
You know, sometimes we get so, where a negative thing happens, we get so focused on it. But not every day is good, but there's good in every day.
Amen.
And I wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I know something good is going to happen today. There's something good in this day. I praise you for it right now before it ever happens. I want to thank you for it. And we begin to develop an attitude of gratitude. And I think that helps eliminate the, you know, depression, stress, fear, which we all go through and experience one degree or another.
Well, even in the, you know, even when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It started off with praise.
Right.
So, I mean, you know.
So holy what, is your name.
Yes, absolutely. So thanksgiving, praise, giving God glory and honor, you know, and then bring your request, you know, to God. And then the peace of God in Philippians, it says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But right in the middle of that verse in Philippians 4, with thanksgiving, bring your request.
Right. And, you know, I think that once we begin to do that, start programming ourselves towards thanksgiving and praise, it makes a huge difference in our lives, because it's so easy to focus on the negative,
right,
and to look for our happiness in things of the world or other people. You know, happiness is an inside job.
Yes.
And like you say, the more we let the Lord occupy our thoughts and our heart and our mind, I think the more we're going to be at peace.
Absolutely.
And the world can't provide that. Showroom can't provide it. The mall can't provide it. But it comes from a relationship with the Lord, being confident that He is your Father, He loves you, and He has a plan for us with eternal repercussions.
Absolutely. There's so much negativity going on in the world, and we are called to be a light. I mean,
right.
Light dispels darkness. I mean, if you're ever...
Every time.
Absolutely. And if you're ever on Facebook, I mean, it doesn't take you but 2 seconds to go through and see people dumping their negativity all over the place, but we don't have to be like that, whether it's on Facebook or just, you know, or at the mall or, you know, at our jobs or wherever, or whatever we do, we're called to be a light. We're called to be the salt of the earth, right?
Yep. But no one's attracted to negativity.
Right.
It's just not attractive. If we want to make people thirsty from heaven, they need to see something in us that they don't have. And that's the joy of the Lord. And a peace, even in conflict, that we know God's in control. In fact, if you read the book of Philippians, we just went through that. It's only 4 chapters, 104 verses, but 16 times in that letter, Paul uses the word joy, or its derivative, rejoice. And, you know, he wrote that when he was incarcerated in Rome.
Right.
He's an amazing man. If I was incarcerated, I'd be crying and licking my wounds, say, "Oh God, where are you?" When him and Silas were in Philippi,
exactly,
they exercised that future teller, fortune teller. They were beaten publicly, put in shackles, in jail. And what did they do at midnight? They started singing hymns and praise courses.
And then what happened?
Then God sent an earthquake to open the doors. The jailer got saved, his family, and baptized, and others. And, you know, it's just, even in the, yeah, I call it a sacrifice of praise. When you don't feel like it and everything's going wrong, just say, "I praise you, God, because you are in control. You know every number of hair on my head. You know exactly what I'm going through, and I'm going to trust you." Three things in conflict that's very important, I think. First of all, bind the powers of darkness, because Jesus gave us authority over that. Second, say, "Lord, what are you trying to teach me?"
Right.
And third, "God, whatever happens, I want you to receive maximum glory." Man, I'll tell you, he'll go to work right now.
Well, yes, I'm nodding my head very much so. Absolutely. That
don't say amen.
No, I won't, because we're going to take the offering. Oh, man, that's so awesome. Cody, you teach at his church. Not you teach. You are the pastor of his church in Coarse Gold.
Yeah, but I am a teacher, and I teach more than preach.
Right, right. Yeah, I do know that. And if someone wanted to listen to your teachings, how would they do that?
I go on the website, his church, Coarse Gold. We broadcast live every Sunday 11. We have a 9 and 11 o'clock service in-house, but we do live stream ever since the pandemic broke out.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have a thing, you'll get on there, if you get on our website, His Church, Coarse Gold, we do a 7-minute church once a week, three of us. We just like we're doing now, discuss things.
Mm-hmm.
Only problem is never 7 minutes. It's usually like 12. We should call it the 12-minute church. But there's two ways you can dial in and listen if you want. There's so much out there, though. There's so much good stuff.
Right. So it's His Church, Coarse Gold. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it .com for the website?
The website is... his church of the Sierras, Coarse Gold. And I'm not sure, but if you just go to his church, Coarse Gold, it'll take you there.
Okay. And they can find your messages on is it YouTube or?
Yeah, we've been selling a lot of my teachings lately. We found a market for them.
Oh, cool.
People suffering from insomnia.
Oh my gosh. I have not sat in on your live teachings, but I can imagine they must be pretty lively, right?
Well, you know, it's the word of God that counts, not me. Yeah. I'm just a messenger.
Yeah, I know.
The Bible says, I'll send my word forth and it shall not return to me void, mm-hmm. but it will accomplish that for which I sent it out to do. And there is power. I had a guy that got saved, you know, came out of the world and challenged all of his buddies. I dare you to come to church for 7 Sundays and sit under the word of God. It will change your life.
Mm. Amen.
But you got to mix it with faith. And it's got to be the word of God, not just platitudes and a clever speech. It has the power is in the word.
Absolutely. Amen. Oops, I said amen again.
Obviously, that's okay.
No, I know. Hey, Cody, it's been a real pleasure today. I really appreciate you coming on, and everything you said, I agree with every last word of it, and I know it was encouraging for everybody that that heard it today, and also everybody that listened to this today. If you were encouraged, I implore you with all that I can, please share it with somebody else, because if you were encouraged, somebody else will get encouraged. So, you know, copy and shoot them the link or however you want to do it, but share this message today with everyone you know to encourage them. Cody, again, thank you so much for being on today. And don't hang up, okay?
All right. And thank you for having me on, David. I'm a little intimidated being on with you.
Oh,
you have such a beautiful voice.
Oh, I mean, no.
You have the voice for a radio just perfect. I have the face for radio, but you have the voice.
Oh, my gosh. You make me laugh. You make me laugh. You really do.
And laughter is good. It's from the Lord.
It is. Like a medicine. It is like a medicine. Okay, Cody, don't go anywhere, okay? Just hang on.
I won't.
Okay.
All right,
cool. All right, folks, thanks for joining us today once again. And this is episode number 90 of It's All About Relationship. And a big shout-out thank you to Pastor Cody Gunderson for being our special guest today.